The Free Congregation of Sauk County is a Unitarian Universalist fellowship and a welcoming congregation. This means our invitation is to all, and that all are welcome here regardless of race, creed, ethnicity, sexual orientation, gender expression, or political persuasion. You are welcome. If we were to read the entire journal from the Pilgrims at Plymouth by Edward Winslow, we would be here all day. So I have incorporated those readings into the address as a whole. When I was little, this is how I heard it. Once upon a time, there were some pilgrims. They liked to wear black all the time and put buckles on their hats. They loved religious freedom. So they sailed on a ship called the Mayflower all the way to America, where they met some friendly Indians who taught them how to plant corn. And the pilgrims threw a giant thank you party. And that's the first Thanksgiving. They all lived happily ever after the end. The only problem with that story is all of it. They didn't call themselves pilgrims. They called themselves saints, as in the elect, as in the opposite of sinners. They called themselves saints. And they didn't come here for religious freedom. They came to escape persecution that they brought on themselves by defying a king. They were so into their religion that they thought the king was wrong, and they told him so to his face and got themselves thrown in jail. They didn't come here to open an open party. They wanted to be in charge for a change. But uprooting a congregation and founding a colony on the far side of the Atlantic, that isn't cheap. And these people weren't rich. They were principled, educated, middle class. But they weren't rich. They weren't wealthy. So how'd they do it? Any guesses? What? They worked hard. Yeah, absolutely. It wasn't enough, but they did. They were sponsored. Most people would guess it's the king. The king, they just gave him permission. He was happy to have them out of his hair. But they were sponsored by investors. 70 local businessmen who called themselves the Merchant Adventurers. Because you're an adventurer when you buy a ship and send your money off. And you stay home safe while other people die. That makes you the adventurer. If you listen to right-wing radio at all, you've probably heard around this time of year that the Pilgrims were America's first failed experiment in communism. That they held, for their first year, they held all of their property in common, and they ate from a common pool. And according to right-wing legend, the Pilgrims found out the hard way that people won't work if they won't work hard if they don't benefit. So they had to give up their experiment in religious communism and go back to good old private property. Brothers and sisters, there's a technical term for that story, and total bullshit. The colonists wanted their own land and their own houses and their own crops. They wanted self-determination. That was the entire point. But the investors wanted what investors want. They wanted their profit. So the rich people did what rich people do, and they held the poor people hostage. You want to go live in a land that's free and have your own place and make your own choices and not go to jail for starting your own church? Sign this paper. Oh, what's it say? Well, it says that we, the Merchant Adventurers, we will charter you a boat. And we will fill it with 1 year's worth of supplies. And then you will own nothing. You will sail across the sea. You will plant and you will build. And you will cut down valuable lumber. And you will put it in the ship and send it back to us. And at the end of 7 years, anyone over the age of 16 who's been working and manages to survive, you will all receive one plot of land on which you can build a house and raise your own crops. And you will also receive one share each in our company. Does that sound like a good deal? Sign here. Oh, you don't want to sign here? Have fun in jail or exile. Or you could always just give up your principles and be like a normal person and go to the state-approved church. Oh, you don't want to do that? Sign here. These weren't pilgrims. They were debt slaves. And after half of them died, they did the sensible thing and they rebelled. They didn't just take one ship. There were two. The first ship was the Mayflower. The second ship was the Speedwell, which was neither. It started taking on water. They tried to fix it, doubled back twice, finally had to turn back entirely. They took as many colonists as would fit off of the Speedwell, put them on the Mayflower, which meant they didn't have enough food. They showed up late, which is why they didn't have time to plant crops or build shelters, which is why literally half of them died. They didn't abandon communism. You might say they waited until they were far enough from the man to stick it to him, seize the means of production, and set their own living wage. Because they said, this is our land, this is our house, and everyone who wants to eat will work, and you will make your own money, and anything that is left over after you've fed your family, that will go back to the investors. The investors did get paid off. It took about 40 years, by which time the investors had moved on to other things. So they took their money and sold their shares to the colonists. They considered it a failed venture, having only received their money back. When spring came, the pilgrim saints were not greeted by friendly Indians. They landed in a ghost town, an empty village, not decimated, vacated, destroyed by plague. There was nothing left. The pilgrim said you could see bones. And as they were exploring, they found mounds that looked a little interesting, so they did the normal thing and just dug them up. Turned out that they were burial mounds, which they pretended they hadn't disturbed. And then they found another mound that had like mats over it. It looked like it was protected. So they dug that one up too. And they found seed corn for next year's harvest. So they took that. They promised that they would pay the natives back if they ever found any that were friendly. How do I know? They wrote it down. They were not ashamed. This is the officially published account. They came here to found a city on a hill for saints, and the first thing they did was desecrate a grave and rob someone's pantry. They were not ashamed because why does it matter? They're just Indians, except they're not, and everyone knows they're not. It's been a while. Since Columbus was wrong by half a planet, everyone knew this was nowhere near India, but like correcting yourself after that long, like it's just awkward. So guess what? For the next 400 years, you're going to be Indians. It's close enough. The part of the story that's almost true is they really did meet a Patuxent named Squanto, who really did teach them about corn. He really did help them negotiate a peace with the nearest tribe that still existed, which were called the Pocanockets. And they really did plant a crop and bring in a harvest. And they really did throw a party to celebrate, yay, we're probably not going to starve this winter. But you know who they didn't invite? Yeah. Again, they wrote it down. Unashamed. They land in a strange land, with not enough food. Half of them die. They are rescued by people who were more generous than they deserved. And they didn't even invite them to the party. They decided to throw a feast and exercise their arms. So the Pockennockets hear random strange white people shooting at the sky and decide to investigate. Which, if your neighbors start like shooting at the sky, investigating is a reasonable thing to do. So they discreetly peek in and see what's going on. Once they realize it's a party and not an attack, they show amazing courtesy and generosity. They go out, they kill 5 deer, bring them in, and turn it into a 3-day potluck, which is about as generous as it's possible to be when your weirdo neighbors start shooting the sky. The peace lasted about a generation, about 50 years. The first Thanksgiving was 1621. What we call King Philip's War was 1675. King Philip is our name for Massasoit's son, who was, Massasoit was the one that the Pilgrims negotiated with. So literally one generation later. On a per capita basis, it was the deadliest war in American history. One in 20 colonists die. Do we have 20 people in this room? Creeping up on 40. 2 of you are dead. Dave volunteers. Half the colonial cities were attacked. 1 in 10 of those cities were destroyed. And every one of those numbers was worse for the First Nations. Plus about 1,000 of them were sold as slaves. That's the real story. See why we didn't open with that one for the kids. And Christmas, way too secular for the Pilgrims, way too Catholic and popish. They had nothing to do with Christmas. There are no heroes in this story. There are just people caught in hard situations. And a few of them are trying to do the best they can. In the middle of all this awfulness, 2 little tribes created a moment, a singular moment of peace and gratitude. They invented it from thin air in defiance of all expectation. And the fact that this tiny sputtering candle of kindness only lasted for one generation doesn't stop us from seeing it from 400 years away. The holidays didn't get this way. They were born this way. It's always been messed up. And we have always had to carve moments of peace and justice out of brokenness. If you make it past January with life and limb intact, well done you. Maybe that's dark, but for me, it's comforting. Because the biggest problem isn't reality, which is awful, but expectation is worse. Because it doesn't matter how good the day is. I can rest my head on a pillow and imagine it going better. I can invent misery out of thin air. It's my superpower. So remembering that the holidays have always been moments of goodness carved out of chaos, that helps me level set to something a little less Hollywood and a little more, to use the old definition, holy. Not sacred, but set apart. A time away from other times. Expectations kill you because it's a game you never win. Human beings live 2 truths. We feel like conscious minds floating behind our eyes, but actually we're meat sacks on stilts. We're both. We are the timeless subject, the chooser of choices, and we are the dying object trapped in a body on a rock hurtling through space. We are both at the same time, all the time. We are always free to choose, but those choices are constrained by our context. The cynics of ancient Greece said we're like dogs tied to a cart. The dog is moving, the cart is moving, whether you want it to or not. The cart is going down the road. You have a choice, walk or drag. Might as well walk. There are times when our choices really are that constrained. And in those moments, just facing it well is a victory. Just getting through the day is the win. And one day, just dying well is the very best we can do. It is our final victory. But most days, and most times in this land, our choices are much less constrained. We have more choice than we actually use. So let me give you two strategies that we can use to navigate the holidays with something more like the grace our ancestors on both sides of that ancient story showed. Strategy one, we are social critters. We subconsciously define ourselves by comparison. So what do you think it does to us when we live in front of glowing little screens that show us for two straight months pictures of everyone else in their perfectly decorated houses with their perfectly decorated trees and their perfectly set tables, eating their perfect dinner with their perfect little family off their perfect little plates? Makes me want to stab them with their little forks. Turn it off. It's hurting you. Turn it off. I promise you it will be there when you turn it back on. Strategy number two is a word we learned from the Danes. It's as hard to define as it is to pronounce. It's spelled H-Y-G-G-E. Good luck guessing. It sounds something like hygge. And it means something like consciously cozy, savoring indulgence, or socializing for introverts. The mark of hygge is intentionality. It's choosing to create a moment or choosing to recognize when one comes. Maybe you light some candles and read a book, eat some chocolate, lock the door, turn off the phone, and recognize that no one, nowhere can tell you to do a damn thing. For the next hour, you are safe and you are free. Maybe you share a meal with someone special or write a letter or turn up the music way too loud and dance around the living room. It's all about you. What brings you comfort? What brings you peace? What matters is the choice. It's no accident that Denmark, a land that spends a big chunk of its year cold and wet and dark, taught us this concept, taught its people to savor warmth and calm and safety. This candle is the same brightness every day at all times, but it sure feels more inviting in the dark. A meal is just as nourishing whether you eat it in the morning or the afternoon at night, but it tastes better when you're hungry. If you choose to, the holidays can be a chance to create calm against the chaos in a world that's still just as painfully real as it ever was, in a culture that's still designed to render you both poor and obedient. Happiness isn't just a choice. It's an act of defiance. Thank you. Yeah, the Pilgrims in England were known as separatists because they were a subset of the Puritans. So Puritans wanted to purify the church, and the people who were so hardcore that they were willing to separate now and tarry for none, those were the separatists who eventually we call Pilgrims. If you want to hear more about happiness research, I would recommend Meik, Wiking, W-I-K-I-N-G. He's a happiness researcher. And he's the one where I got the whole turn off your social media. He did a study, invited people, he used controls to verify it was accurate. And he said there's three different kinds of happiness that they measure. And on all measures of happiness, after 1 week off social media, there was a 5% improvement in happiness versus control. Took 1 week off of social media. So if you want to learn more, I encourage you to Google M-E-I-K, Meek, Mike, Weeking, W-I-K-I-N-G. Create kindness out of chaos, to carve out a moment, time, where goodness and peace exist despite all expectation. Thank you for joining us today.